think you just have figured out that I'm the guy with the crappy laptop, so I could say that's me. Yes, Malefico, I was, maybe you remember last year, I was talking about Coniferous Project. The only thing I've been able to say about it today is that I'm no longer involved with the project, so if you have questions, if you have questions about it, maybe you can ask me any other time. I don't have a microphone in my hands, and I will certainly gladly answer any questions. Now, so this talk, the working title of this talk was Life After Coniferous, so let's focus on that. And I think it's a good opportunity to introduce you to our new studio. It's called Licuadora Studio. Licuadora is a Spanish word. Maybe you can figure out what it means. Because, exactly, as somebody said, Licuadora means blender. Exactly. So, we were working with this wonderful tool for so long that we just figured out that maybe we are a blender studio, but using that name, it's like maybe already registered also, so let's translate it. Here we are. Oops, sorry. Sorry for that. Wrong key. So, this guy, Tom Rosendahl, you might know him, said once that Blender is about people. And this is, I think, a very strong truth about our community, about Blender. And so I couldn't go any further without telling who are we are the rest of the team. And these guys are all backed from Coniferous. They were all in that project also. And Manuel Perez, Ivan Hoffman, Diego Borghetti, and Juan Redondo. We are all Blender heads, and actually one of us is actually a very good developer, Diego. So this is us. So immediately after Coniferous, we start working on a feature film, live action feature film. We were hired to make visual effects for that film. It's an Argentinian production, and it's called Los Superagentes. Los Superagentes is this kind of very common cheesy live action with super secret stuff, but they are also very common, very famous characters in Argentina because they made like 7 or 8 movies in the 70s in my country, so it's kind of an icon in Argentina. So the producers had this idea of showing a new face for the Superagentes and blah blah blah. And well, if you ever find the DVD with that title, remember it's live action movie with this, but it has Blender stuff in it. So when we start the project, we had this list. We had a lot of fun things to do. We got to do camera tracking and match moving. Well, we have to composite, animate, modeling, texture, lighting, everything that we can call blending. We also had this idea of trying HDRI to have light probes and have a more realistic illumination, lighting. And also, there was this fixing effects shots, because besides the digital effects that we were doing, there was another team doing real visual real effects like explosions or guys on these strings that pull them out, and for that to work you need sometimes to, well, you already know, to delete all the extra elements used for that for those effects to work. And the other task was to render film quality, so there were quite a bunch of things to do. No, not yet. Oh, yeah? Okay. Do you want to see?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Now it's time for the new player to give problems. Some of them. Some other were things like accelerating. Okay, it's enough. Don't bother the people. Let's go back to presentation mode. So some other things we had to do were doing this kind of speeding up video effect, and also lots of things that weren't planned, but they all continue asking for. So let's check out this list of problems we have to deal with. We have very crazy deadlines, like I don't know, 2 months for do the whole thing, including rendering, and though the which wouldn't be so bad when if they have a very slow production, so every time you ask for material they give you the wrong one or this those kind of nice things. We also had to cope with the meddling director, these guys that wanted to do any or have an opinion for anything you are doing, and they really don't know about it, but they like to let you hear their important things. And when you think that you already solved everything, you have to cope with very hard feeling. I love these guys, the film transfer monsters, because these guys can completely ruin your work like this, just because they like it. So I can tell you, for instance, this anecdote. Just right before this one, we did a couple of shots for another movie, and when we made the transfer, we rendered digital so they could make the transfer. Blender has DPX support, but at that time there was a bug that I can't remember exactly if where Blender was believing the DPX was linear, but it was actually logarithmic, or was the other was the other one around? I can't remember. So it was like they loaded these frames onto the software to make the transfer. The transfer, and they looked like can I say shit here? Yeah, right. Okay. So like that, and the only thing that the guy had to do was to press this button to tell the software that there was. It wasn't linear, it was actually logarithmic, all the other way around.
But you all made it up.
Yeah. And he just didn't. And he transferred the film and asked you to come and take a look. And when we went there and saw that, he was like, yeah, it looks bad, and then called us to his control center and show us the screen from the computer from when he has this software, and then click on the log linear button. Ah, maybe you see it like this, right? Maybe you saw it like this when you were working, right? And we kind of say, yeah. Why didn't you? I don't know. Maybe you could have made us this favor for us, but yeah, they don't. They won't. So you have to be very careful when you have all this data rendered, and to be very careful that you are telling them you have that specific format, and with all the information, don't let anything loose because they're going to screw up. And yeah, those are my guys, the transfer master. And of course, you have to deal with your own errors. We are all human, so we can also screw up. I didn't tell you hours about it. So, let's see what This guy, producer's guy, can understand by clockwork. So it's one of these, either one of these. And most likely this. So it's not really like you're going to have the material in due time and in due format or anything else. For instance, that's what another problem we had to deal with, formats. Because they have this very old guy that was making the editing of the whole movie, and the only thing he could work with was an AVI with Avid Codec. So we had to deliver to only to him, because the rest of the guys, or also the transfer, they didn't need anything strange. But DPS, but we have to prepare this very special format for any one of them in the pipeline. There were. Can I have some water, maybe? Thank you.
Offer you water.
Water. Yeah, sorry, I got a cold the first day I arrived to Belgium, and. I still have it. Thanks. So I guess I'm not telling you nothing new, but it's always good to see that other people have the same problems. So, well, this is the sad part, because I was going to show you all the plans, the plan files from this. Maybe I can load some of the data, but not everything. For instance, the node settings, because we are using homemade nodes for most of the shots, and yeah, they won't show up. But I think I can show you the 3D information if you like to. Okay, some things to say about this. These shots were kind of a track. We used for that Voodoo Tracker, as this guy from Italy that showed this wonderful movie yesterday. And the thing is, we had a lot of problems with it, but not because of the software, but because of the way the film was shot. When you work with camera, you're planning to work with camera tracker software, you have to be very careful how you plan your shots, because not all the motion can be correctly tracked. Some types of motion, like a camera on a tripod panning, could be 2D track, but when you want to reconstruct geometry, you don't have enough information to do it properly. Or for instance, you better go in just one direction or one rotation, not combine too many of them, because otherwise the camera tracking step will surely fail, and you end up tracking by hand, like moving your camera really frame by frame and hoping for the best. This shot here, I can play again the clip I have, but this is funny because this was a shot that was shoot violating all the indications we gave to the director about the camera. So it was not possible to track, but it has to be done. So what we actually did was replace the original band, this is a band, with a 3D one, and do it just by hand, but in 3D. It's like it can't fail, because this is 3D and this is also 3D, so no problem. And we never told the director actually, we never told. So we came by to see, oh, okay, see what's going on. I told you it could be tracked. I told you that was coming. You're great. What else? Oh, with this shot, yeah, I'll play it again after this so you can see. It was also very funny because the camera was on a tripod, and this camera has this problem that has a very slight motion up and down, very slight, and it cannot be repeated, reproduced. So we had this guy, this actor here moving his head, and the wind was playing with his hair, but it was like very subtly. So you can notice, you couldn't notice if you wouldn't have this 3D stuff on top of it, because the 3D won't move at all, will be perfectly still. And that will reveal that the other guy is moving like blah, blah, blah. So what to do? Since we thought nobody ever would notice this guy here, they all were figuring out what the hell is this, which is frozen a frame, and then no more motion. That was it. And what else? Yeah, this typical case of a shot being shot with daylight, and then you have to change it to a night scene. That was all done in Blender using a lot of notes. Let me see. Yes. I'm sorry, guys. If the guys at the studio are watching, I will not be able to show this. This is a container. I think you all know, and it's a proposal we have for a feature, but yeah, I'm not able to show this. I can tell you about it, so you can imagine. These containers are like groups and layers all together in a nodal editor environment. So if you have one container, you can just put objects from the 3D scene on them, and then create a tree that will be rendered. So it's kind of an easy way to handle many layers. You are not constrained in any way. So it was kind of a good idea, but I'm sorry, maybe next time. So as we were saying, Tom is smart. This I saw in a presentation last year. It was kind of a multi-purpose slide, so here it is. And what else? Maybe we can show this shot again, so. No. No, it's just to show you can take a look again to this shot I was talking about. This is the one with the fancy, unrealistic band here. Oops. And this is also, well, this is an iPod. They shoot an iPod with a green felt on it, on top of it. So we mapped this video and time track a shot with it. It was kind of a nice. But yeah, I'm not this guy. But I'm had to. Please, sorry. Yeah, looks a lot like me, right? But no. Sorry. So, I don't know if you have any questions about anything else I haven't shown. Maybe I can show that.
What's the tracking company?
Voodoo Tracker. Voodoo.
You have a dwelling on
it's
that?
It's open source now. Oh, not open source, but it's free. You can use it.
Did you have some of the shots on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Maybe I can do it. I don't know if I have time. It's the way it works, it's export a Python script with all information of empties. So you load something like so you see this cloud. This is what you get from Voodoo Tracker. And it kind of here it won't show. Well, it's very slow, but you can see those dots are tracking the background. Those are 2D features, but. The problem is you can have amazing 2D features. I mean, you can have a very good tracking of the background. But the problem is that you also need to be able to, sometimes, in this case, it was not the case, but sometimes you need to be able to recreate 3D information after that data. And in shots like this, I don't think that would be possible, actually.
This is actually a 2D track.
Yeah.
If you were to rotate the camera, it would be flat.
Yeah, exactly. It's all around the camera. See? So for this, so we are using some 3D objects on top of it to mask some parts. For instance, this is a part of this weapon, this secret weapon. So for that not to show on the render, somewhere there is a mask here. This curve with a material set with EMB. So just render the background. Yes.
So is there a reason why you opt this
some reason why didn't add breakers to the car?
Yeah, sometimes in this particular case, the reason was that we weren't there actually. But yeah, because the production has this had this very weird time scale. I think I mentioned about the production problems, and when they went to this this location, they thought, ah, it's too far away. Don't call them. So they didn't call us. But yeah, we knew we could make it anyway. In the other shots, with the three stuff that smoking generation, and yeah, there we used these marks on the yeah to have the tracking. Yeah, that works. But it's a pain in the ass then erase the.
It's very quiet. Okay. After you have this point cloud, do you also have camera movement information or?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's the two stuff you get from.
Exactly.
Movement.
Yes.
Okay. And
this,
yeah.
I might be able to find the camera here. I think it's one of those. Yes, you have this IPO curve from the tracker.
Yeah, and the other part of the question, sorry, it was a two-part question. How do you reconstruct the hood of the car? Because you have to do it in the same dimension of the camera, or do you just measure it and...
Yeah, we have, no, we just took a lot of pictures from the car and just modeling using that reference.
Okay,
and then the scaling you can tweak, but the hood wasn't actually rendered. The hood is the real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did.
But the hood you have here to mask the holding out, it's the same dimensions of the real one.
Yeah, we use that. That object is in this layer because we use this at first we tried that approach to have a real hood there, but. It wasn't necessary, it was more, it's overcomplicated, We did have to model the whole car for another shot, but for that we used the reference.
Yeah, we have to keep the schedule a little bit, five minutes, we have the next talk here, now we have to ask the next talk. One quickly.
Yes, we ask the cameraman all the parameters from the camera, and we also measure height and focal distance. And the information when we were there, we carefully measured, and we know when we knew that we couldn't make it, we asked the guy, the director, to ask those data for us.
Thank you.